Hello and welcome everyone to Stepping Into Sovereignty, Activating the Fierce Love of the Sacred Feminine, where wisdom keepers from all over the globe are summoning up the courage to take decisive and loving action to create a future that we all desire. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and we're here today with my dear friend, Elizabeth Wood. Welcome, Elizabeth. I'm so happy that you decided to show up amongst all of the weather.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, despite it all, we are here dedicated to consciousness.
Right. So Elizabeth is a quantum and galactic anthropologist who bridges scientific and spiritual concepts to help people all over the world. Her theories, practices, and techniques support people to heal and find sovereignty. She shares practical tools and profound ideas meant to cultivate a compassionate culture. And her topic today is sovereign service, the new paradigm of empowerment. Oh my goodness, that just kind of, I'm getting chills all over because of what we were speaking into before this conversation. So from an anthropologist's point of view, are we in a paradigm shift? How do we know? And yeah, just answer those two first.
Absolutely. So the answer is yes. Yes, we are. How do we know? Well, despite of what we're seeing at the surface, right? We can see a lot of things on the surface, but we need to define, you know, what is culture and how culture works in a paradigm. Culture is a layered creation of human beings. Mm-hmm. And while many animals have something quite similar, the complexity and the density of our culture as humans is quite different than any other being, because we actually can create physical change incredibly dramatically. The only other animal that you could even compare it to would be beavers.
Right?
And so what happens too is that the physical changes we make, they affect us and they change our culture. Mm-hmm. So change is really the name of the game when it comes to culture in general, because it's mm-hmm. constantly happening.
Right.
And there's layers to it. Mm-hmm. Belief systems are changing right now. People are pretty uncomfortable with dualistic systems. They're often uncomfortable with the divisiveness of language mm-hmm. that is showing up. And that's a clue that there's a paradigm shift, because there's different terms coming up, mm-hmm. such as sovereign service versus selfless service.
Right.
Huge shift there in mm-hmm. energy and consciousness with those two mm-hmm. terms. And then we have the concepts of social structure as well. Social structure is changing too. The way we're connecting to each other society-wise and creating ways to build up purpose and meet needs, mm-hmm. that's all shifting too. People are moving out of cities and into rural areas more and more. We're watching it affect the material when social systems change. But the biggest changes are economic and financial and political. And that's actually the number one clue that we're in a paradigm shift, because political economy doesn't like to change.
Right.
Of the four layers of change that can occur, beliefs and language and those kinds of non-material items, we might call those superstructure, mm-hmm. Social structure, political economy, and material or infrastructure, mm-hmm. political economy is the one who doesn't want to change.
Right.
So when that's changing, yeah. and it's changing at a global layer, then you know you're in a paradigm shift. And that's the way we will measure it from here on out. We're going to look at those four layers. And I encourage people to think about how the beliefs and languages are changing, and all of these mm-hmm. layers are changing within you.
Right.
Because it's happening to all of us spiritually. However, the earth herself, right. our our material and very spiritual mother. She's changing, and she's causing much of this change through the actualization of a higher dimension than anyone ever expected, which I would say is the ninth dimension. It's pure formless love. And this is shifting everything. It's such a incredibly a massive frequency shift that all of the dense stuff that's been hanging on for dear life, like the patriarchy or the power over paradigm, all of that's dissolving in the face of this incredible purity, this formlessness. And it's hard to clock, because how could we clock formlessness? It's like nearly impossible. But because you're watching human culture change so much, that's one of those ways you're going to know, okay, this is much bigger than just a simple social shift. Oh, so much bigger.
Right.
It's so global. It's all our entire single species being affected.
So what is the new one we're stepping into?
The new one is this paradigm of empowerment. And so let's define that, because before we were in this paradigm of power over, mm-hmm. and the power over paradigm had to do with control. Mm-hmm. And the patriarchy itself is what we like to call it, although it's been men harming men as well with this power over or power grab that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Who has control? And then all of the ways that I'm trying to get my plug and it's stuck. I'm so sorry. Hang on. Because my computer's going to die. Okay. Sorry about that little tech glitch. So the empowerment paradigm is about how humans are no longer buying into this idea that we're naturally competitive. It's not functioning that way. And empowerment has to do with people realizing that they already have all the power they need.
Right.
And anything in the way of that is dissolving. So I'll use myself as an example.
Okay.
Poverty consciousness disappearing along with the creation of co-creative products, co-creative platforms, co-creative projects. Mm-hmm. And then there's no poverty consciousness because everybody's got everybody's back. The end of really consistent worthlessness and self-hate programs for me, which I'm still working diligently on, mm-hmm. noticing that as I begin to allow myself to be loved, to be loved by myself, that there's this end of powerlessness. And then the shifting, and this is probably the greatest, grandest shift into empowerment, the shifting of programs that have kept us in fear, such as the fear of death, or the fear of not having enough money, which we mentioned, the fear of not being able to use our time wisely, or worrying about the future. These are programs. And there's five specific globally known programs like this. These are programs that I call matrix programs. They're the last vestiges of the power over paradigm, where the fear of death could be used to make you do things that you wouldn't normally do, for example, or the fear of not having money or food was going to make you do things you didn't want to do anymore. Empowerment's the opposite, in that everyone's saying, well, I'm going to make more food happen because I'm going to work together with everybody around me so we can all eat.
Right.
And it's our natural ability to step up to some of the most difficult changes on the globe and come together bravely and boldly and say, my liberation is tied to yours. That's what empowerment looks like. And that's what people are doing right now. So that's being created out of the crumbling simultaneously No wonder everybody's confused.
Right?
It's really complicated.
So let's just suffice it to say that there's a big shakeup. There's a big shakeup happening. And that there's a lot of power in that change. So we're right here at the beginning. How do we use the movement the most effectively?
And this is where sovereign service, that concept comes in. Mm-hmm. Because no longer is it the removal of self out of the equation, and it's also not the replacement of self entirely for service in order to gain mm-hmm. something or have an expectation. I'm going to do this, and therefore that person's going to owe me.
Right.
Later, which we call transactionalism. Mm-hmm. And all that's disappearing too. Instead, the end of aestheticism, which is the denial of the self, has occurred. Mm-hmm. And it's been replaced with something surprising. The importance of embodiment.
Yes.
And so if we get into our bodies and we mm-hmm. say, I love my body enough to take care of me today so that I can serve the most vulnerable that are showing up, and I give myself over to you, Source, Divine Will, God, what have you, in order to use me and use this beautiful body of mine, take this body and my mind and my spirit along this path to light, and I surrender. It's an act of sovereignty to say, I am important in this liberation process. And that then says that enlightenment no longer is a mental achievement. Enlightenment is a full body achievement. Mm-hmm. Enlightenment is an achievement that will affect your household and your career and your friends and your family and all of your community and the planet. Mm-hmm. And so there hasn't been anything written about how exactly we create this path, this new path. Mm-hmm. We're all front runners on that. Mm-hmm. You and I and everybody listening who are all on the cutting edge. If you care about consciousness right now, you're on the cutting edge. So we're going to be able to start writing the new ancient books from here and decide what is it that we're really going to be doing. Now, service doesn't leave the equation. Mm-hmm. Service is now liberation for all. Mm-hmm. And it's my liberation is tied to yours. Therefore, what's good for you is going to be good for me, even if we're totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so here I am. I'm going to hold your hand through whatever you're going through. And you've got my back and I've got yours. Mm-hmm. It's taking altruism to a whole other level. So being able to be in that sovereign state and say, I am important in this, in that I chose to be here, and every choice that I'm making each moment is affecting the whole. Nothing is personal. Mm-hmm. And yet I know it will all come back around mm-hmm. to either lift me up or be in equal form, an energetic answer to whatever action I do or whatever words I create, etc. So I think that the end of the austerity of self, and yet also not replacing the denial of self with selfishness, which has occurred, and that's what we would have called individualism. And look how far that got us. We ended up in a lot of self-hatred in that state too, because we didn't have connection. We didn't feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
So by saying, I'm going to pull myself up from my bootstraps and do this all on my own. And, you know, it doesn't work like that. And it never has.
Mm-hmm.
We've only survived thus far because of those blips in time where everyone said, whoa, hold on. We're going to all disappear off this planet if we don't get real. And right now is one of those get real moments.
Like, get real or die.
Yep, get real or die. And we want to make sure we bring ourselves along with the mm-hmm. ride and our bodies, too. We're not leaving our bodies out of this anymore. So deeper nourishment and the ability to have a household and a career and a family at the same time as doing enlightenment work can be done. Yeah. And it is being done. So yeah. We're riding that wave and carving out that road that hasn't been carved yet.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you speak into this, because you know how you'll just have those little epiphany moments. And last week, it just occurred to me, part of the reason that we get unhappy when we're not moving is because we're not in our body. And our spirit wants to embody. That's why we came to the planet. So, you know, and I always tell people, if you want that to happen, do yoga. Yoga will, it's like, if one good stretch will get that consciousness out of your head and all the way down to your toes. So,
yes,
but it's like
that among many things, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I want to speak to this real quick here, how tough it is for embodiment and how some of us, and myself especially, have lived most of our lives outside the body for a myriad of reasons. Mm-hmm. I never even got in my body. so I didn't get into my body, Kathy, until this past summer solstice.
Wow.
And I've been really working hard at it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for me, yoga didn't cut it.
Right.
But what I had to do was so radical. And I want to give people hope, because if I can do it, you guys, then and all of you can do it. If I can, you can. That I had to do something radical. I had to surrender all of my outcomes. Mm-hmm. I had to surrender all of my possible outcomes. I had to surrender whether I was going to live or die, or live halfway and out of my body and limp along. And surrender the possibility that I could be in my body and continue this work and feel fully healed as well. I had to surrender all those outcomes and let them go and let source choose. Mm-hmm. And in that full surrender of self became a totally different outcome than I expected. It became sovereignty. It didn't become nothingness, the end of Elizabeth. Became sovereignty, and then my body and my spirit could be married. There ended up becoming a trillion births as I allowed myself to be in each cell, mm-hmm. and to love my body finally and realize, oh, how much I have not loved my body, mm-hmm. and that I avoided being involved in the body in every way that I could, mm-hmm. especially because of trauma and PTSD. Mm-hmm. Detachment is a great tool. Mm-hmm. It's a tool. We didn't poo-poo the tool of detachment. But detachment can be so comfortable when you're in a trauma or experiencing PTSD that you never get back in.
Right.
And so it was kind of a combo, both spiritually, I never really got in the first place, C-section baby, mm-hmm. traumatic birth, all of the above, way too psychic probably. And then trauma too to boot that made me not even want to get in, mm-hmm. in the first place. Who would want to? But the processing, moving all that pain out of the way and then surrendering allowed this greater sense of self and oneness with the source field, so that now I feel fully empowered and in my body and functional. And now I have access to trauma that I can heal that I didn't have access to before. So it will give my body a chance to come along with me on this path. That's what we have as an opportunity. And it can be radical for you to get in your body right now. Do it. Do it because it's radical, if any reason.
That's the best reason right now. So talk to us a little bit more about sovereign service as a playground. It's like, what are some of the elements? What does it look like?
Oh yeah, I love this because it's so interesting to look at these two different playgrounds or game boards, as we might call them. There's the old one around power over. In the power over paradigm, it was totally normal to use judgment instead of pure discernment. but culturally learned judgment to get by. Culturally learned lots of nasty programs that help you survive in a very corrupt culture. So when your mind says, oh, you're not pretty enough to be on video, that's actually a negative program trying to help you to get by in a culture who says constantly that you're not pretty enough every day. Okay. So that we end up using judgment in the power over paradigm to compete our way into positions of more power, which takes a lot of energy from others as they, in order to jockey for their power, keep saying, well, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful, petting the ego all the way. Mm-hmm. And so then you have the attachment tool in the power over paradigm, that your attachments make you and define you. And we know this from, like, you know, people getting fancy cars and driving around and, or really, really expensive clothes, that shows like a social indicator that you have capital, not just money capital, but social capital, and social capital that comes from a crazy sick paradigm.
Right.
And then you have expectations, all the expectations that come along with power. If you have power, then you're expected to make certain moves in order to keep playing the game. Right. And then you yourself end up learning to have really sick expectations of everybody else too. And the last one being resistance, that the fluidity of this other game board of sovereign service, the formlessness of it, is completely resisted. That in order to maintain a position, you are trying to literally stop a kind of fluid, formless shifting, including old age, right, including the way that you live. Every aspect of your life then is somehow going to be maintained in perpetuity,
right,
and that you're going to resist any fluidity or changes that lead you to formlessness. That's the old game board. New game board. We're going to purify those same four tools. What are the purified versions of them? Judgment is really discernment being run through ego. Ego, which is created often through the trauma of power over. So we have this discernment. Discernment is beyond the body. It's beyond all of those negative programs. Discernment goes from the soul into the body, and how the mind, heart, and gut of the whole body can actually make beautiful full body decisions that is good for the whole and not just the self. And that would be a sovereign act to say, I'm going to make this choice in full discernment for the whole of the collective, not just myself, knowing that nothing is personal. And that would be what discernment looks like. And it's much more pure. Then we have the difference. There's no more attachment then. There's only love. Mm-hmm. Attachment really runs love through these little bitty tubes. It creates conditions to love. And we say, well, I really, really love this Gucci bag I bought. Look how I love it so much. That's not real unconditional, hardcore, awesome love. That's an attachment, and you're running your condition, which is the fashion of the day. You're running your love through that condition, saying to everybody, I really love my Gucci bag. This is the difference. We're going to remove all of that. No more of the conditions on love. And therefore only having this experience that's consistent with pure love. That means that when bad things go on around us, we're going to see the bigger picture, which is that everything's made of love, and that all the things are that seem like they're not really love, that is usually fear. And fear is just love under pressure. That's all. So then really everything is love, all of it. And there's no conditions. And so that feels totally different too. Again, feels way more formless, a lot less structure involved.
Right.
The opposite of expectations is being in the moment, remaining in the center, being still, not leaking your energy out into the future or the past, not using the past as your measuring tool to define your reality. It's a terrible measuring tool, because change happens so fast, especially now.
Right.
So in order to be able to navigate this, you've got to be in your first attention and use your precious attention, which is the gift of the purified version of expectation, is attention. Attention. Wow. Your precious attention has incredible power. What are you putting your attention on right now? And knowing, and just ask yourself that question, and bam, it really takes you to a state of oneness. It takes you to a state of fluidity. And then, of course, the opposite of resistance. The purified version of resistance would be formlessness itself. But you get there through surrender. I'm going to surrender my fear right now that I don't have enough money to pay my rent. I'm going to give this, it's welcome here. You welcome it, and then you surrender it. I welcome this fear because I'm going to learn from it. It's because I love my family and I love my body that I really want to be able to have enough money to have shelter. It's love under pressure. So I release that by putting my attention on it and allowing it. And then then we surrender our consciousness from there into a different state where we can actually begin to clock and experience formlessness itself. Because you couldn't do that on any other playing board. You couldn't. There was too much structure in the way. Now when you allow, and it's constant, amazing amounts of allowance that are pretty mind-blowing at this moment,
right,
that will get you into this state of surrender. And in the surrender, the subtleties of formlessness begin to show up in the embodiment, so you can feel it and see it and know it. And that's when you begin to actually act as a sovereign being in service, in service to your own consciousness, but the consciousness of all. And this looks and feels so different. And so the struggle to move from one game board to another is where most of us are at, including me, working, even though I know this stuff with my mind, doesn't mean I've embodied it.
Right.
But we have it now. We can see it. We can talk about it. That's a good step. Yeah. If we language to talk about it, and then we start using our tools, the same tools apply. Emotional processing to still the emotional body and meditation to still the mental body. And then continued effort and work to surrender into the body all of the things that we learn, all of the pressure that we find ourselves in, so that we remove any blockages that would be other forms of pressure, consciousness under pressure, out of the way by allowing them, then they dissolve. Using our precious attention to navigate the moment, not to navigate the future that we can't see. And that's what it's going to look like. And it's going to have a lot more details from here on out, because it's going to continue to manifest in all of us. Mm-hmm. And that's the opportunity we have.
Yeah. So I think you just mentioned them already, but I want our listeners to be really clear. If you could give us the top three tools to move from the old to the new to sovereign service, what would they be?
Let me specify them even deeper. Mm-hmm. Emotional processing can be there's lots of different ways to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's been one of the most focused on topics for the past 50 years, mainly because of the feminine wanting new ways to heal from patriarchal pain, and then bringing that to the table for the masculine too. And the men are picking it up as well, because they're over it. They're tired of being subjugated just like anybody.
Right.
So the emotional process that I prefer is to find the frequency in the body. So I'm going to do personal transparent example here, because it's the most effective in my world. Going through a big self-hate process comes from the child self and the desire to be a good helper, the desire to be loved, and this incredible foundation of self-hate that I've built up so cleverly. for eons and then covered it up with an equal amount of arrogance.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of it. I am very good at processing arrogance, and I'm not so good at processing self-hate and worthlessness. So I've been doing this for several months at this point, and knowing that this is one of the greatest processes I could do. And I've been doing this particular kind of processing for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So the upkeep is always there. Mm-hmm. To find it in the body. So where is my self-hate in my body? Right now, it's right here in my body. I can feel it when I bring it up. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. It is very knotted. It wants to rise up. It wants to turn into crying. It wants to turn into tears, right? So I find it there and I welcome it. I welcome you, the self-hatred here now in my body. And I just take a deep breath to let my body know that's safe. And it moves. So that layer dissolved and then it moved up the back of my head. Now it's kind of here. So that's good. There's a new layer there. So I'll find some self-hate here. And then it'll probably move. It can move anywhere. It can move into my pinky. It could move into my nose. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how intimate the emotional body is with the physical. Mm-hmm. But by noticing it in the body, I'm not trying to think about all of it and where it came from. Then I'll worry about the past. Gotcha. And leaves and all that. I'm thinking about the frequency and how it feels. Mm-hmm. The frequency of self-hate can't hurt me. Mm-hmm. All it can do is teach me. So when I allow it and I really welcome it to get to know it fully, because I want to really know this. I want to be finished understanding self-hate in this lifetime so I can be done.
Right.
With a particular book called Self-Hate that's about this thick.
Right.
You know, so by welcoming it, it dissolves. Then you make really good chance to fill that in with light by meditating. Mm-hmm. Now, my favorite way to meditate is that I like to gaze. I like to do gazing. Because I'm too psychic to meditate like a closed eye classic meditation, I just can't do it. So I do gazing. And gazing you don't have to do for very long, but I'll use my physical eyes to gaze on a single point. I like the Sri Yantra, which is perfect because it does some neat things to the brain. I like the Sri Yantra to gaze at, or a flower, or something natural. I'll go out in nature and pick a point and gaze at it. And everything dissolves into particles of consciousness as your eyes becomes very still. Well, what that does too is it stills your mind. Literally, very physically, the eyeballs are attached to your brain. So by them being still, the mind stills. And then I can welcome light to move into this space here where I just moved all this dense trash bag energy out of my embodiment, out of my DNA, out of the dimensions that I have access to, which are all 12 of them all at once. That's the point. Then you move all of that, you replace it with light through meditation. The third way to keep moving off that game board of powerlessness, where everything seems to have power over you, is going to be service itself. Service itself is so magnificent. To give without expectation gets this living thing called abundance rolling. It's a living thing. It's a cycle. It wants to live and it wants to continuously give to you, but you've got to make room for it. That's why having a bunch of nice things and having a really nice house and a lot of money doesn't equate to happiness.
Right.
Because in order to create real abundance, which is just light, it's light. Power is light. Light is power. We all have 100% plus some connection to all the power and light that we need. Now we're just literally making room for it. So we make room by giving our time, giving our stuff, giving without expectation, giving a little love, giving a little prayer. Giving, 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 noticing that we're in a relationship with all things. And that's why our liberation is intimately tied together. So then you begin to experience that. My liberation is tied to the homeless guy that I pass every morning. My liberation is tied to every single person I see on the TV, whether I like them or not. My liberation is tied to that. So what can I give? Let's say you see somebody on TV and you really don't like them. In fact, you might hate them. What if you gave away your hate, let it dissolve? And what if you just gave a prayer of hope, a prayer of light, or a blessing to that person instead of hating them? Bam, you just changed the whole game board.
Yes, you did.
Now it's not about us versus them. Now it's like, I'm becoming more formless, and the formless light, it's going to percolate through any density, any person, any ego. The more I continue to build it in sovereign service and give it as freely as possible, the more there will be. That's the magic of Source, is because it's all made of love. So you're just revealing what's already there, which is light and that beautiful concept of pure unconditional love. So those are the three tools in specific that get you can every day a little closer to sovereign service.
Oh, wow. You just put it into words. You know, these are the teachings I grew up with, but you just made it real practical and down to earth and real. You put it in our bodies. That was amazing. Thank you for that.
I'm so glad.
You've got all kinds of free gifts for our listeners. I mean,
I packed it in this time.
Yes, you did. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it's a little something for everybody.
Yeah.
Some of you really like music, and I'm a musician. And so I put together a little short 11-minute music-only meditation produced by my husband. I wrote the whole thing and played it so on keyboard. So that's there, and I am really glad for people to have it because it's joyful. It's a pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you listen to this, the song's called Horizons. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to it, the idea is we have beautiful horizons. We have hope on the horizon. We have light on the horizon. And so I wanted it to embody that hope, to give you a little boost. So if you're feeling down, don't worry. It's okay. There's lots of tools to help you get out of there. And sometimes it's music. And it certainly is for me.
Right, me too.
And I even listen to this song all the time. So that's what it's made for. The second... Sorry?
I said download.
Oh, yes. So...
your phone.
Yes, download on your phone. You have it anytime. The kids love it too. And then the second one is actually a guided meditation that also has music in the background that I wrote. But it's called Galactic Forgiveness. And so I put this one up there because it wasn't up there before. And I decided to put it up there because people are really becoming more and more aware that we're certainly not alone in this universe, that our experiment in consciousness is a complex one. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of misunderstood beings out there. There's some misunderstood history. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stories where we have this power over concept, like the Anunnaki, they were so bad. They came down and did all these bad things. Like they just had all this power over us. Or the gray aliens, why are they abducting everybody? You know, they have so much power over us. This is terrible. Actually, the stories about those two peoples are very, very sad and not at all what people have been taught. And I want us to forgive because on the edge of that horizon for humanity, we have a chance to embody unconditional love, universal compassion, and consent, and bring it to the galactic table where we ourselves as human beings will teach the Anunnaki and the gray aliens about love and consent and compassion, of which they don't know about because they had a whole different evolution than us, a whole different story. And they just don't understand those concepts. We will teach them. And we'll teach them first by forgiving. And we're going to forgive not only for ourselves, but for our ancestors And so I walk you through that forgiveness all the way out to the edge of the universe, all the way out to the unknown stories that we don't know about. And so if we make room through forgiveness, then we'll be able to do what we came to do, which is help to bring this consciousness of humankind up along with Gaia and her preference to the very highest echelons of light in order to be able to teach all the rest of our brethren at that table, which is a huge, massive, multi-galaxy combination of beings from all over the place.
Yeah.
The third piece is a ebook. It's a 50-page ebook because I make my tools very succinct. Mm-hmm. And it's how to heal the three minds, the brain, the heart, and the gut. I mentioned negative programs, for example, like you're too ugly to be on camera or something like that. Mm-hmm. And those negative programs, they can be erased. How do you get your mind back? Well, I have all these tools that I created out of desperation, honestly, because all the classic psychology tools didn't work on me. And I got really frustrated and I wanted to end my life. And I thought, here's my last chance. I got to get myself out of this hole. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to make stuff up then if that's what it's going to take. But I'm also really practical in that I wanted stuff I could use on the fly. So that's what that whole book is about.
Wow.
How do you heal your brain, your heart, and your gut? How do you get back in your body? How do you use the tools that are there in your body, these three minds? How do you use them more wisely? But especially, how do you get them into a state where they can be in receiving and in oneness, not in pain and suffering? So that's what that little book's about. And it's really good for the men, especially, because they like the logical sort of scientific layout of it. And then, and women do too, of course. It's readable and it's easy. And you can print out little chunks of it if you like certain tools and tape them up or give them away. Mm-hmm. And all of the things on there are free for people to share. So if you find them useful, share them. It's totally fine.
Perfect.
And then the last thing is, the last two things are, if you wanted to sign up for emails on my website, I give you a free third eye development class because the third eye is very important. It's just misunderstood. Everybody thinks their third eye is broken, but it's not. There's a program in the way,
mm-hmm.
and that's that the imagination isn't real. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. The third eye is the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give that back to you so you can have your third eye development back into your own hands and not need anybody else to fix the problem for you.
Right.
So that's a free class you get if you sign up. And the last thing is every last Sunday of the month, there's a free call. And I like to email out to everybody and let them know and bring them onto either Zoom or YouTube to come and join me where we can talk about what's going on each month. And I take the personal to the universal. That's what the call's about. And then at the end, I take lots of questions. And at the very end, we do something really cool with our three brains. We build a pillar of light.
Mm.
And so we all get together, hundreds of people, and we project these beautiful intentions into a fourth dimensional structure somewhere on Earth. Last time it was in Yemen, I believe. And we do it all over the place. And sometimes lots of people email me and there'll be some common theme that'll come up. So this time I think we might build one for and with the cetaceans out in the ocean because their consciousness has been coming up in people's minds. But we build these pillars every week and they just are giant transmitters of basically prayerful intent. And people can add to them. So that they all will always remain there until the job's done. And so it's something nice we can do to give back to the collective each month together. And so those are the gifts. It's a little something for everybody.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you on behalf of all of our listeners. Oh my goodness. I mean, folks are just going to dive into those, I'm sure. And if people want to work with you, obviously they get on your website and we'll have all of those links available on your page. Oh my goodness, Elizabeth, you're such a delight, and you bring through, I could feel you just bringing through tons of information today, both on a conscious level and places that we don't even, can't even talk about. So what a gift you are to the planet.
My pleasure. And your heart too, Kathy, thank you for holding that space of Mother Divine. I can feel it truly, and I deeply appreciate your work.
Well, it just sounds like we're all in this together, and we might as well get used to it and get on with the program.
That's true.
Right? Well, girl.
One last ending thought, yes, I want to give to people.
I would love it.
At one point in time, about 300,000 years ago, maybe it was two, there was something that occurred that nearly wiped out all of humanity. There were only 2,000 people left on this planet. We are all related to those last 2,000 people. Those 2,000 people decided that it was worth continuing this experiment in consciousness. And they decided to band together with all of the love that they had for each other, for the human race, a singular, beautiful, living, breathing race. And they put all that love into maintaining the survival of our species. That gusto, that desire to love humanity is in all of our DNA. It's written there. And I want to activate it by mentioning it to say, look, all the fears of death that have faced us and that are facing us, all the fear of dying and all the fear of loss of life, all that fear behind it is really the deepest love that we have for humanity, for every single one of the people on this planet, whether you agree with them or not, it doesn't matter. But here we are actually at that brink. We are at that point at this moment. Again, there's not 2,000 people left. There's a lot more left right now. But as we move through this shift, that same rule applies. It's your love. It's our love that's going to get us there. That's going to get us into sovereign service and an entirely new paradigm of empowerment.
Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you. We all needed to hear that. Beautiful.